Thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. To learn more about City Place Church, visit cityplacechurch.com or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at City Place Church.
Hey, everybody, welcome to City Place today.
That's right, it's always so good to see you. Yes. Every 7 days. I look forward to this moment, and thank you for allowing us to come into your home.
That's right. We are so excited to spend this day with you. God has put something on the inside of us, and so we welcome you. You know, last week we asked you how you were doing as we kicked off our service. Our nation is walking through not just COVID-19, but also just this racial division. We talked about it last week. If you get an opportunity, go to last week's service, The Constant Enemy, because we went head on to the enemy's devices and the enemy's schemes. And we didn't want to just jump from one thing to the next thing. Now we want to just kind of land in a place where we continue to have these hard conversations and these hard discussions that bring us to a place of unity. And so this morning, lean in. Please don't take the moments that we have together in conversations lightly, because these are things by which God continues to grow us more and more in his word.
So good. Well, let's pray this morning and let's jump into what God has to say to us. Father, we thank you for visiting us. We thank you for speaking to us. Yeah. Holy Spirit, we invite you to all of the places where we physically are, but we are asking you this morning to knit us together in unity at the heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I'm ready to go. Now, did we tell everybody to lean in level 10?
Yes, we did already.
Yeah, come on, everybody. come on. Let's jump into God's word. But if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 10, we're going to tell us a couple of stories today.
Yeah.
And then we're just going to kind of continue to share our heart. But I believe that we have an opportunity today to continue to grow and see God do some healing, not just amongst us, but also just allow the presence of God to invade this time period that we're living in. Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says this, and we're going to kind of bounce in and out, but we're going to read the story of the Good Samaritan this morning. But we're going to pop in and out of this text. Here we go. It says this in verse 25. It says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood to test Jesus, and he said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What is written in the law?" Jesus replied. "How do you read it?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself."
Yeah, I love this scripture as we kick this off. Many of us have heard about the passage of the Good Samaritan, but it's important always, we always say this in God's word, that we back up and punt, understand what is the context, what is happening, what is the scene, because the story of the Good Samaritan comes about through an exchange. Now it says, and this is so interesting, it says an expert in the law. This is not just a normal person. Yeah. This is somebody who has understood Old Testament or the Talmud, the piece of scripture that they would have been reading in this day. He's an expert, somebody who looked for the details and the facts and tried to uncover from a very logical position, stood up to what? To test Jesus. He wanted to test Jesus. This wasn't any scenario. This was a scenario where he was saying, all right, brain to brain, man to man, let's go. Let me test you and your real understanding to see who you are. I think this is so interesting because Jesus, he asks a very sincere question. Yeah. And the question is, how do I get eternal life? How do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus doesn't answer that question. He actually answers it with a question. Yeah. How many of you get frustrated when people answer your question with a question? Jesus answers his question with two questions. He says, what is written and how do you read it?
Mm.
And for us, that means,
that's so good.
What is the expert material? What is there? Because you're going to know that in your brain. And then how do you read it? What's in your heart?
Yeah.
He asked them these two questions very specifically. What's in your head and what's in your heart? Let's unpack that for a minute.
Yeah.
And the response of this particular man, this particular expert of the law says, okay, I'm supposed to love God. I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, my mind, and my strength. And then I'm supposed to love my neighbor.
Yeah.
And he's the one that discloses the head and the heart that sets the stage for our story today.
That's good. So let's keep reading. We've got notes here. We're going to bounce around, but let's keep reading. Verse 28 says, and Jesus said to him, you've answered rightly. Do this and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus said to him, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had pity on him. So he went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him in his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave it to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come, I will repay. So which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves and the robbers? Jesus said. And the man said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise.
I love this scripture. And can you just see the scene? So there is an exchange between two men. It's a logical testing that's happening. And yeah. Jesus said, this is what you need to do. Let's back up though and understand just as you began to read, it says, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, yes, that's exactly correct. Do this and you will live.
That's good.
Now, what does that mean? Because those things don't feel like they draw the line back to eternal life,
that's
which
good.
Is the original question that the man asked. I want eternal life. Tell me what to do. Well, love God and love people.
That's
do
good.
These things and you will live. See, God was separating two things when it comes to truly living.
That's good.
The first one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength.
That's good.
We know as believers in 2020 that the Bible declares that Jesus is the way to salvation and we can only get salvation through him. So Jesus was responding, you have to have this open highway to love God to get to eternal life, period. That is settled. But I also want you to understand that you will live if you love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? Does loving our neighbor really draw the hard line back to eternal life?
Yeah.
And Jesus is showing us actually this is the case. There are kinds of love that are demonstrated not in heaven, not between you and God, but between you and your neighbor that are life-giving, that are the choices between life and death. And Jesus is, in essence, giving a commandment through a story of the Good Samaritan of what it's like to live, but live abundantly, to live and to honor God with our physical lives on earth.
Yeah.
It means that while we are here, wrapped in flesh and bone, that there are two kinds of living. That there is the heavenly life, the eternal life that we have. But Jesus declares, you can have heavenly eternal communication, but you cannot be living wrapped in your flesh.
Mm.
And so he gives us this example of the Good Samaritan. And as we begin to unpack love, we understand that there is more to this story.
So when we talk about love, because sometimes we can have love in our mind, but let's actually break down what Jesus is really saying, because we've needed to dive into the word of God deeper, because we have love God, love people, which then makes racial division not a part of God's plan.
Right.
If God says, hey, the way to live fully is to love me with everything you got, but love people the same way, there is no way that we can allow us to be divided amongst each other. Here's what love means based on scripture. It means to welcome, to entertain, to love dearly beyond religion.
So good.
It refers to relationship based on your character. Watch now. And revealing yourself personally. It's like who I am, I give it all to you. So when Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, love your neighbor beyond whether you go to this church, this religion. He's like, no. The love of Jesus Christ will be wrapped in relationships.
So good.
That's the reason why when we're talking about coming together on the weekend, we're not trying to just do church. We talked about that last week. We're trying to be all that God's called us to be. Why? Because we have access to a relationship with Jesus. But here's what I found. In study, this is the reason why we couldn't sit down today, babe, because I told you, I was like, I feel a little preachy. I've been so mad at the devil. He's trying to separate us, y'all. He's trying to separate the church. He's trying to keep us focused on things that divide, and that has never been God's design. Look, I looked up the word love.
Yeah.
And the word love in this text means agape. Mm. I'm not going to break it down just yet. I found out that there's at least four types of love found in Scripture. There is the storge love, which is the empathy style love. Mm. It's, I may not even know you, but I feel your pain. Mm. There is the philia love, where you get Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's the friend type of love. It's, hey, what's going on? You want to go to the movies? Yeah, I want to get to know you. That's fine. There is the eros love, which is the romantic type of love.
Hubba hubba.
Hey, girl. You know what I'm saying? It's that type of love. And then we land on, watch now, the agape, which is unconditional God love.
So good.
So the empathy love, hey, I'm in and out of that. Friendship love, I can choose to. Oh, I don't. Look, the romantic love, only for you. But agape love is unconditional love. So when Jesus says, you shall love the Lord your God unconditionally.
Yes.
You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, strength. And then he says, and love your neighbor. Same love. You want to give God the unconditional love. I don't love you, God, based on what you're doing for me. I love you because you're you. He says, if you're going to love God with everything you got, give the same love to the person that you may not even know.
Preach it.
He says, give the unconditional God kind of love. Don't frame it outside of how God sees you.
So good.
Ooh, let me pull back.
So good. I hope you're typing amen and
come on, y'all.
And come on in the chat this morning. I love this portion that says, love God with all of your heart. That is everything that's in your emotion. That's your physical life. It's the center of our being. It's the center of our emotion. It's our highs and our lows. Love God with all of your heart. Love God with all of your soul. What is your soul? It's the very breath of life.
Yeah.
I love God with every breath of life that I have. Every force that is within me, everything that is from heaven that is not even mine, everything that it connects me spiritually.
Yeah.
I love God with all of that.
That's good.
Then what does it mean to love God with all my strength? That's with every physical exertion that I would have, every ability, every force, every moment of discipline, right?
That's
every
good, y'all.
Everything in my physical body. I love God with my strength. And then what does it mean to love God with your mind? We love God with all of our mind. That is our intellect.
That's so good.
That is our strategy. That is our way of thinking. Listen, how many times have you and I decided that we were going to love God in one of those four areas, but we were going to leave the other one on the side? I don't like that scripture. I'm not going to intellectually buy into that scripture. So I'm going to love God with my heart. I'm going to love God with my soul, but I'm not going to love God with my mind. We love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our soul, our strength, and our mind. And Jesus says these four things woven together is the best reflection of agape love, of
that's
heavenly
so
love. It's the thing that mirrors my heart. It's not when you pick and choose, like you're going to the grocery store and decide you don't like those tomatoes and these are too bruised. It's saying wrap all four, and give them to me as a representation of who I am. This is how I show you my love selflessly.
Jesus.
We love God with all of me. So my question this morning is, if we understand the full breadth, the full extent, not portions of it, but the full breadth of how God would have us love, then how is your love meter right now? When God says, love me with your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, that's sometimes easier than when he says, and love your neighbor in the same way as you love yourself.
This week, I asked myself this question. Have I ever asked myself, like, how well do I treat me? Like, I asked myself this question. I'm asking you. Have you paused to ask yourself, how am I treating me? Because maybe the way I'm treating me could be a way that I'm treating somebody else. Because he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Mm.
You know what I was thinking about myself? I love me. I love the way I look. I love what I have, I think I'm okay. I love being with me. I love the way God created me. I love the gifts that God gave me. And he says, if you look at someone else through a lens that's less than the unconditional God kind of love, you're looking at yourself. So if I have a despise against you, I'm looking in the mirror. Because he says, give that love the way you would give it to yourself.
So good.
Can we answer that question? How am I loving me? I feel like I'm like a self-help right now. How am I loving me? No, but look, ask yourself, if I am not loving me at the fullest, then I'm not going to love my neighbor at the fullest. But if I'm not loving my neighbor at the fullest, then I'm really not loving me at the fullest, because Jesus said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Here's what Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says this. Watch now. It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The soul that's on the inside of us should be functioning with the unction and the power of God himself.
Breath of God.
God has designed us. Listen. God has designed you and I to be able to fulfill the unconditional love of God. But when the enemy attacks our mind, when the enemy attacks our strength, when the enemy attacks our soul, when the enemy attacks our heart, one broken piece causes us to function out of order. We all have ridden in vehicles. One thing breaks down on the engine and it starts to function out of order. Could it be that the seeds of the enemy have crept into our time and hearts have been hurt, strength has been stripped, soul has been walking in toxicity, and it's been hard to function in the full love of Jesus? Today, we're going to get to a place, y'all, where the perfect love of Jesus steps into your home.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all. We are the ones. We said this last week. We're not going to just watch. We're going to engage. We're going at this in Jesus' name. I'm sorry. I'm preaching.
I love that you talked about that we are designed to demonstrate and to reflect the agape love, which there's nothing missing in that, and there's nothing broken. Sometimes we tell ourselves this lie, but I'm not God. And we are not God.
That's strong.
But we have the ability, according to Genesis, which says that we have the very breath of God in our bodies. We have what we need to reflect the agape love of God. Yeah. And how good, what is our love meter according to our neighbor? You know, it's interesting in verse 29, when we get to this exchange, again, the man is saying, okay, I understand that I'm supposed to love God, and I understand that I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. But the Bible says something interesting. It says, but he wanted to justify himself. No one in this moment has put this man on trial. No one in this moment has said, and P.S., you should be letting that sink in. On his own accord, it says he wanted to justify himself. So another version in the New Living Translation says he wanted to justify his actions. Ooh. So he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? Let me be clear. Now, we must understand during this time, there was an incredibly deep historical divide between Jews and Samaritans. In this moment, it makes me wonder, it makes me lean into God. Was there a conviction that rose in his heart? Was there something without words? It didn't take words. It didn't take a conversation. It didn't take Jesus calling him out to say, this area, we need to talk about this thing. It leads me to believe that even now, even in this scripture, the Holy Spirit was beginning to just put a little check of conviction is in his heart to say, you heard what he just said, but are you living that out in every way? And here's where we find ourselves today in 2020. Sometimes it's the words that are spoken, and sometimes it's listening to the conviction of the Lord that says, you should not be here. You should not be in this conversation. You should not be a part of this. And by the way, you should not be silent about it.
That's good.
It's so funny. Sometimes we think, no, scripture was intended for a time 2,000 years ago, and we reach back into scripture to find something that is perfectly appropriate in this year. The Bible says he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus specifically, who is my neighbor? And Jesus responds then with the scripture and the scenario that we know so well, talking specifically about how a man coming from Jerusalem to Jericho was in the middle of a crisis. Now, these two areas, Jerusalem and Jericho, were approximately 21 miles separated. It was known as the Bloody Way or the Bloody Passage. Why? Because this particular two pieces were surrounded in a mountainous area where in caves and in crevices would lie robbers along the way. It was the shortest distance between these two locations, but it was the riskiest distance between these two locations. And so everyone would have known that that was a dangerous dangerous and treacherous route to get from one city to the other. Mm. So this particular scenario was leading us to believe that it happened often. If it had a name of being the bloody way, that this was not uncommon, it was not unheard of for there to be a particular man lying on the side of the road. But I love in verse 20, it says, Jesus responded and said, a man was going to Jerusalem. We actually don't know in this circumstance. We are led to presume and believe that it was a Jewish man, but we have no idea. Yeah. It just calls him a man.
That's good.
It just says a man. And there's a certain portion that God says, I don't actually care who this man is. You just need to know a human was in need.
That's good.
Right here.
That's good.
You may have a foundation of a divide. You may have something, but I want you to see a man that is lying on the side of the road, unconscious and uneasy and half awake and left for dead. It's just a man. And it talks, of course, about a priest and a Levite who saw the man, each one doing just a little bit more. Oh, that was sad. The first man, the priest, had, you know, was going along the way and decided, that's a shame. Mm. The second man, the Levi, it says, when he came to the place and saw me, passed by on the other side, at least he acknowledged that he was there. Mm. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity. He evoked those four phases of love that we talked about earlier. He evoked the empathy. He evoked the brotherly love. He evoked the love of God that didn't need a thing in return. Mm.
That's so good. So as you were talking, I was thinking about this. We wrote this down. Injustice of any kind exists because we justify before we empathize. We justify before we empathize. Just the story is showing that we say, no, something, he must have done X, Y, Z, something happened, but I'm not getting involved. See, I love how you were breaking it down. The first man just kind of went to the other side. The second man kind of glimpsed, maybe I should, I can't. And then someone that he might have even been in conflict with culturally, said, something took place. This is the reason why we're praying against mental, you know, anguish in this season, depression, fear, anxiety. The reason why we preached directly last week against racism and we're talking about the divide and we're saying, God, unify. The reason why we're not going to allow our nation to sit in lack is because we're not going to go, I'm good. I'm okay. No. Basic is, I'm going to give you a little storge, love. And that's what this man does. He looks and he says, this man is hurting. I had this question. How come so many people hurt alone? Hmm. How come so many people hurt alone? How come you hurt alone? Hmm. Have you ever thought about how come so many people hurt alone? Could it be that God is waiting for you and I to be the uncommon tool that he would use? Just had it though.
I love that thought so much because, you know, I'm just sitting here even letting that absorb. Just this last week, I had somebody that I reached out to. I knew that they were going through something and I reached out to them. And I said, why are you suffering all by yourself? We have a community of people. You know that we love you. And they just said, it's not my nature. It's not my nature to want to be needy. And I want to say this to you. God gives us two responsibilities as the people in need and then as the people who are resourced to help. The first one is calling out for help when we are able to. Now, in this circumstance, we don't see this man. We have no ability to see that he can speak, that he is functional. In fact, we see that he is in a very destitute situation, but you and I are not necessarily always in that same position. Yeah. Now, perhaps emotionally or psychologically, we've gone through a period of trauma, and it's okay to process to say, I am without words. There's two responsibilities. One is the person who needs help to say, I need help. I need Jesus. I need my family. I need my church. I am in desperate need. I'm in a desperate situation. But then there is the responsibility of the people passing by who know full well that our brothers and our sisters are in need, that there is a true need. You know, the Bible says that the priest that went by, the priest would have taken their tithe down to the penny. They would have celebrated every feast. They would have done everything right. But Jesus specifically points this out to say, but you did not stop to help in time of need. A couple of months, maybe even 6 months ago or so, you preached a message called Use What You Got. And it rang back up in my spirit. You can catch it on the City Place Church podcast if you want to get caught up. But it was use what you got. It's just saying whatever it is, it's sufficient placed in God's hands.
Yeah. But it's also a warning for all of us people that love God's house and the physical building. It's a warning that for years and years and years, we've stepped over problems that we were supposed to bring the healing to. Do you hear me? Like, we go to church because it says the priests and the Levites, the one who were preaching and the people who went. It's like the people who were leading the way. We give a thought, but we can. This is the reason why, y'all, as a church, we can't just be hunkered down and say, that's theirs. I'm not dealing with this. No. If I look at you from an unconditional love standpoint, I go, the bare minimum that I can do is to give you that storge love.
That's right.
What if the bare minimum, even if I don't know you, but I see the person who's on the street, or I see the person in abuse, or I see the one dealing with anxiety, I may not know, I may not understand, but I say, you know what? Instead of me just walking around you, I'm gonna be the church. Because remember, we said this last week, gates of hell can't prevail against you. So when you step in, I start bringing the healing. What if the minimum we gave was empathy? That's what the man did. The man paused and gave empathy. In fact, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 through 38, it causes me to believe that Jesus was what? Watch this. Let me just read. It says, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with, watch now, compassion for the people, because they were weary and scattered. They were hurting, like sheep having no shepherd. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Jesus said, there is no one that could help bring the resource, the peace, the healing, the calm that they need. Jesus is moved with compassion. He says, they're like sheep that have no shepherd. He didn't say, they're just in need of me. He says, there's not people who are feeling what they're feeling. And this is what he says. And then he said to his disciples, the harvest of broken people is plentiful. The harvest of people who are ready to be healed. The harvest of people who are ready to experience my love. Yeah. The harvest of people who are ready for a real Jesus encounter is plentiful. But the ones who will stop and feel their pain, I feel like preaching. Few. Oh, when I read this, I was like, Lord, please don't look at me and say, Damon, you're walking around and you're not pausing. But then he said, Lord, pray. He said, boys, pray and ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest that is broken, into the harvest that's craving more of me, who doesn't want to live void of how I created them. He says, pray and ask God. City Place, I believe that God is going to empower you and I to be the ones who will say, God, let us love you with everything we got, but let the love not just be directed to you. Let the unconditional love of God be poured out on people, whether I know your name, whether I look like you, whether I'm walking through what you're walking through, let it be poured out.
Yeah. Another way of saying that is taking our compassion to action. We are called sometimes the ones that we are in, that we don't understand the most. In this scenario, it's the Samaritans and the Jews, but let's put different names on it. Let's put whatever the label is at whatever that season. Yeah. Sometimes the one that we reject, that our community says, no, we don't do that. We don't do these people. The one you reject is the one God is actually calling, calling forth to bring the healing to your life.
That's good. That is so
listen
good.
To me again. Sometimes God is using the one you reject, the one you don't even have a relationship or know anything about. You don't share things in common. God is using that person. He's using that community to bring healing to your life.
That is so good.
The process of healing begins with us. The process begins as we understand and stop and say, show me what hurts you. Mm. You know, my son, particularly my youngest son, when he gets injured, he will come up and say, I hurt. Mm. And what's the first thing that I do as a mom? Show me. Show me where it is. Show me where it is. I don't look at him and tell him to suck it up. I don't tell him to get over it. I don't pretend that it's not there. I say, show me where it hurts so I can help you.
Right there, as you said that, show me where it hurts. How many of y'all are hurting today? How many of y'all are hurting for the racial division that we're going through right now, but God's going to bring unity? How many of y'all are hurting because maybe your mental stress level has gone through the roof? How many of you are hurting because of financial impact? How many of you are hurting because of sickness in your body? Come on. Here's what I feel like to do in this moment. I'm sorry, we got our notes, but I just feel like this is a moment where we can all experience the presence and the power of God. I'm telling you.
Do it.
I can sense the presence of the Lord as we're preaching, that now is the time for you to say, I'm hurting.
Yeah.
I'm hurting. And here's what I need you to do. I need all of us as a group of people to lean into the ones that are responding. Come on, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. And can we all agree right now? Come on, let's pray. Father God, right now,
yes.
We're not going to walk around this moment of ministry.
Yes.
God, there are broken people, hurting people, people who want to pursue your purpose, people who are hurting through moments in life that we have no clue. But God, we're going to show that the presence and the power of God is here. God, we're going to come as a community of people.
Yes, God.
We're going to be the church. And I just pray the power of the Holy Spirit to invade homes, cars. If you're listening to this later, I just impress on the presence of the power of God to invade your space. I pray that you have an encounter with the reality of the love of Jesus. Peace, strength, and healing. In Jesus' name.
Yes, God.
Thank you for showing us. I want you to know that you have a church and a group of people that will say, show me your wound. Because the Bible says that the Samaritan, who was an enemy by culture, says, not only am I going to pick you up, but I'm going to take my time and make sure that before I leave, you're as close to whole as can be. It says that he began to bind up the wounds. Watch now. And begin to put oil on him. Oil in biblical days is a sign of anointing. He's saying, if you lost anything, if your identity's been hurt, I'm here to bring you back to a place of fresh anointing. The place where God has created you. I'm going to cause you to be strengthened again.
Yeah.
He says, let me show you that I feel your pain.
Yeah.
I may not know it, but I feel your pain. The first step in the process of healing is empathy. Come on, write that down. It's empathy. It's, I'm going to feel your pain. The second step is that philia kind of love where you're going to be my friend. Come with me. It says that he took the man, put him on his own donkey, and said, you come into where I'm staying. You come into my house. I'm going to let you into my space. Relax for a moment.
That's good.
See, the second part is that we're going to begin to care for. Again, I may not know all of your story, but if I get you into my house, I'm sure you'll tell me as I'm caring for your broken place. This is the reason why we have small groups that are online.
Yeah.
And we say, come be a part. It's because why? If I show you that I want to know you, then I can begin and you can begin to heal my wound.
Yeah. And the third step in that plan is to assume the risk. The Bible says that the man took him to an inn and began to bind his wounds. And it says in verse 35, the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expenses you may have. 2 denarii, I looked this up and it was approximately 2 days' wages, or likened to feeding approximately 23 grown men. He lavished his responsibility. He didn't just say, not only am I going to give you my stuff and what would cause me to be comfortable putting you on my donkey and taking you at my expense, but I'm going to go over the top because if there's anything else, if there's anything else at all, I will be responsible. You know, today you have come to the healer's house. And so regardless if you have found yourself on the side of the victim or the perpetrator this morning, you are in the healer's house where God himself can take you and wash your wounds. Say, you have broken places that we can't even speak about, but let me mend you up. And by the way, if there's anything else, I can take care of that too. Or maybe you find yourself reflecting these last couple of weeks over short-sightedness or times where you have been the one who has used words or actions or things that have hurt people. And I want to tell you this morning, thank you for having a difficult conversations and leaning into this moment because you are in the healer's house. Yes. Who can come to the areas that we regret the most, where we replay that we are ashamed of and say you are in the healer's presence this morning, and whatever it is that is binding you and keeping you with open wounds, whatever it is that rips this off like a Band-Aid, I want you to know I am here to heal it all.
You know, what's amazing is this week I had an opportunity to communicate to pastors and leaders as a part of being, you know, the Wave Collective church that we're a part of. And they said, just share so that we can begin to heal and we can learn. And one of the things that I share with them is that, what if we assume the risk? Because the conversation was, we were talking about the death of George Floyd, and we were dealing with the issue of racial division. And one of the things that just rung out to me is, let's assume the risk. Let's assume the risk for the person that's broken, whether it's racial, or it's loss of family member, or it's a loss of a job, or someone struggling with anxiety, depression. I've said it several times throughout our conversation this morning. What if we assume the risk, like the gentleman said? He said, I'm gonna invest in their healing.
Yep.
And when I come back, anything that you would exhaust, I'll cover. It makes me think about the fact that Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few, but pray the Lord of the harvest. When you continue on to Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, listen, every place that you go, just change the life of the one you encounter. He says, don't bring anything with you.
So good.
Don't worry. I'll cover all of that. You just make sure that if there's any broken place, that it's fixed. And so as we are talking about this moment today, and Pastor Taisha said it, that we are in a healing place. So I want you to think about this, that today is the day when you and I become the healer of the broken. See, a broken person doesn't make me less than.
Yeah.
If I'm broken, it doesn't make me less than. No, it means that I am going to walk in the unconditional love of God. I wonder if Jesus was also kind of talking about himself in this story. I wonder if Jesus was like, hey, people are going to look at me funny, and they're going to think that I'm an enemy, and they're going to talk about me. But God has sent me not to walk around you, but God has sent me to give you my heart. God has sent me to bind up your wounds. The Father has sent me to bring you back to your purpose and your strength. God has sent me to declare to you who you are. And if anything else, the price that's paid for you, it's covered. I wonder today, if we declare that we're going to love God with all of our heart, the center of who we are, our soul, the seat where he can sit, our mind and our strength, I wonder if we say, God, be who you are in me, and we decide that we're going to be in the place of a healer. I believe that broken places become healed. In fact, am I talking too much, babe?
No, go for it.
Huh? I realize that Jesus finishes off the story. And he says, so what do you think about the story I said? And the man says, the one who stopped, he's the one that had mercy. And then Jesus gives him the same thing that he told him earlier. Go and do likewise. go and do likewise. But as I was studying and we're wrapping up, I realized that Jesus was telling the man, hey, don't justify anymore. Love me with everything you got and love people. But you know, Jesus preaches a lot. But there hasn't been a time throughout God's word where I didn't realize that Jesus also didn't model it for us. John chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus raises the bar. He actually repeats himself and he says this in John 15, 11 through 13. He says, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, watch now, as I have loved you. He starts off by saying, love your neighbor as you love yourself. But then he says, why don't you love your neighbor and one another as I have loved you? Then he says, now let me give you the bar. I'm raising it higher. He says, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life, take the risk, for his, watch now, friends. Not just a neighbor.
Yeah.
I move from just being in the story you love to the philia. He says, now, these are your friends. He says, take my unconditional love and take the bar higher to where you'd be willing to take the risk of who you are so that they can be who they are. You know, the Bible says that Jesus proved what he said in John 15.
Yeah.
We know the Easter story, that on a Good Friday or whatever day it was of that week, says that Jesus went to a cross on a Friday. And he says, you know what? I've already told them that if they're going to love their neighbor as themselves, Jesus said, you know what? I'm gonna die for the one that will reject me. In fact, I'm gonna show it to you because I'm gonna be hanging between two thieves, two criminals. One is gonna dog me to my face. The other one's gonna accept me. And Jesus says, Lord, I'm dying for my man over here.
Yeah.
That's disagreeing with me. I'm gonna die for the one that agrees with me. And this is salvation. Jesus proved to us that he's willing to take his love to the place that benefits us to its fullest.
I love that Jesus gave this man, this expert leader in the law, the way to really see people.
Yeah.
He said, I see you. Now will you go and see others? On that cross, Jesus gave his life, and the Bible declares that if you and I attach our belief to that, if we attach our hope to the fact that Jesus died, that he rose from that situation, and he rose in all power, the Bible says that when we do that, when we make that confession, that we are able to have eternal life. So this morning, you may find yourself and you may say, Pastor Damon, Pastor Ty, I am on the process to healing. I am understanding that there's healing in this place, but I also understand that my first step to action, my first step of honoring God is to make that declaration. This morning, I'm just gonna pray a simple prayer. I'm gonna ask you to pray it after me wherever you are, loud and proud, be bold. And I'm gonna simply declare, Jesus, this is what you did. You did it for me. And I believe that you rose again, and I attach my faith to that. Can we do that this morning?
Yes.
Repeat after me, say these words, Jesus.
Jesus.
I believe
that you
in all power,
in all love,
died on a cross.
For me.
You did it for me.
And I believe now.
That you rose from that grave.
And I attach my faith.
To your love.
And I declare today.
That I am a Christian. Help me to honor you. With my life and words.
In Jesus' name.
The Bible says that when you declare that prayer, the heaven, the angels are throwing a literal party because they are so enamored, so excited, so wonderfully glorified, saying, yes, somebody else has come into our family and they are partying for you today. Brave act. We are so proud of you. You know, as a family, we want to come around you. Yeah. As we declare our faith, as we declare our love for Jesus, that doesn't mean that everything gets easy.
Yeah.
It means that we need a family of That's believers right. to help us go, take this step forward. This is what we do. This is how we love and honor God. Help me understand His word. We'd love to do that with you this morning, but we got to know who you are and your brave decision this morning. So will you text us this morning at City Place Church? Just text the number that I'm preparing to give you and say, I decided, and we will know to get you resources this morning. That telephone number is 407-393-8426. Text that number and say, I decided, and we will party along with you this morning and celebrate this morning.
That's right. Fill out that information, and we're just so excited to be able to celebrate this moment. This is also a time we believe in worshiping God through our giving, and so you all that have been giving and sowing have been so faithful. I also want to thank those of you who've been contacting us for ways that this City Place can come around and lift up your arms because you've been impacted through this pandemic and just to carry the pressures of life. We're honored that we get a chance to be the Church of Jesus Christ and the hands and feet of Jesus. And so you can give at cityplacechurch.com/give. Just know that God is allowing City Place to represent Him on the earth and in our city. And just this past week, we went international with our giving as well, because not just people in the United States being impacted, but literally around the world. And so I want to say thank you, because people in Venezuela who are dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic, they are receive some medical supplies and things like that from us as a church. And so we just want to say thank you. And so go ahead and prepare your gift. As you are preparing your gift, we just again say thank you. We're praying and believing for our county to open up so that we can continue to lead through when we're going to be meeting again in person. And so we just thank you for hanging out with us online each and every week. We miss you. We love you, but we will continue to keep you informed. Now, the final thing, as you're preparing to give, you can give online, however it may be. So let's pray, and then we can't wait to see you again next Sunday at City Place Church. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you through our giving. Bless every seed that's sown into your kingdom. Let it change lives completely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all. Thank you for hanging out. Have a great week.
We'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
That's all for this week's podcast edition. Join us online at cityplacechurch.com for more resources, upcoming events, or to submit a prayer request. Or if you are in the Central Florida area, join us on Sunday morning for a life-giving service that builds dreams, ignites faith, and establishes leaders for the kingdom of Christ.